Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, may the meditations of all of our hearts and the words from my mouth, may they be pleasing and acceptable unto you. Amen. No words, only prayer. That's what a friend of mine in Malawi, who's a fellow Presbyterian minister, posted on Facebook this past Friday. No words, only prayer. There are times when it's best to just listen and to pray, maybe to sing, listen to music, to hug your loved ones, to remain quiet, and to do more listening and praying than talking. And yet, here we are. We are a people of the book, and it's time for words. It's time for the sermon. There's this feeling inside of me that doesn't have a whole lot of faith in humanity right now, and that's probably not a good thing to hear from your new pastor, your new associate pastor. But my faith in humanity is coming back. After seeing dozens and dozens of volunteers yesterday in Bruner Hall at Loaves and Fishes, it is coming back. And it will come back some more this afternoon when young people and older people go out to sing Christmas carols. It'll come back a bit more then. And I do, fortunately, still have faith in God. So as I rewrote this sermon on Friday and Saturday, I had been listening to National Public Radio report the news from an elementary school in Connecticut. Newtown, Connecticut is actually about 35 miles from where I was born. I drove nearby this town a few months ago as I was traveling between Boston and New York City in the fall. I probably saw a sign on the interstate as I drove by that didn't mean anything to me at that time. But that has changed, and Newtown, Connecticut will now register in our collective minds as a place where something horrible happened. On Friday, a young man murdered his mother in her house and then went to Sandy Hook Elementary School and followed that up with something even more horrific. 20 children killed, 6 more adult women, and then finally himself. That was the 7th mass shooting in the United States this year. To say that again, what happened on Friday was the 7th mass shooting in the United States in 2012. Unimaginable. The theme of this third Sunday in Advent is peace. Thankfully, or perhaps providentially, the theme last week was joy, and this week the theme is peace. I see that as a tiny blessing for me and perhaps for all of us, because while I can do something with peace this day, there's really not much that I would know to do with joy. This is a day when we need peace. 20 children, all 6 or 7 years old, who won't be tucked into bed tonight by their parents, who won't be going to school tomorrow or going on family vacations this summer, who won't grow up and know what it's like to fall in love for the first time. 20 families grieving now more than I can ever imagine, missing their brothers or sisters, the children that they had loved and nurtured every day of those young lives. And 6 more families missing mothers or wives. If there's ever been a time for peace, O God, make it now. In the most troubling times of my life, or when things in the world seem to be too much to bear, I often turn to the Psalms. When my heart breaks for the cruelty that human beings can bring upon other human beings, and it happens far too often. When my heart breaks at the slaughter of elephants and rhinos for their ivory, or when my heart breaks at the devastation that we do to this planet, I usually end up just about in the middle of my Bible in Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. So on Friday night, I was thinking of those families going to bed that first night. That first night without their children. And I thought of the incredible depths of pain that they were in and, of course, are still in. And I longed to just hug my own family and have someone say, everything will be okay. But really, when something like this happens, as it seems to happen too often, I wonder if anything can ever be okay again. The gospel writers all have different ways of telling us about the birth of Jesus. But they all begin with this really interesting character, John the Baptizer. It makes sense, really. In Advent, we are preparing for Christ's birth and his eventual return. And John is the one who tells us to prepare our hearts for that time. He's not very polite about it. He's a bit rude, actually. He's demanding. He makes me a little bit uncomfortable with all that talk of repentance and being called a brood of vipers. But some amazing things happen in the crowd. Instead of turning away from his harshness, the crowd says to him, "What then shall we do?" To their immense credit, they seem to understand. After being called a brood of vipers, after hearing the metaphor of the axe cutting at the root of the tree, not to mention the everlasting fire, the crowd says to him, "What should we do?" Now, the answers are actually very simple, but they seem difficult to really enact in our own lives. If you have two coats, John says, you should share with someone who does not have any. If you have food, you should share with someone who has none. That's about as clear as it gets. A good message not only this time of year, but every time of year. John goes on to say that if you are a tax collector, be a fair one. No skimming off the top at the expense of the people you're collecting from. Now, that message applies to everyone, really, not just the IRS. If we had a little bit more of that behavior in our society, we might not have had as many Enrons or AIGs or banking or housing collapses. John says if you are a soldier, you should be a soldier with integrity. John does not say, do not be a tax collector or do not be a soldier. He just wants us to live as we are with integrity, to approach our lives and our families and our jobs a bit differently. It's a reminder that we do not come to church on Sunday to be Christians. We cannot come to church this one day and then rob and cheat and lie and steal the rest of the week. So every year in Advent, we are confronted by John the Baptizer. He tells us to take a look at our own lives and ask how we are doing to live as Christ's followers. Are we preparing a way in the wilderness? Are we living with integrity? Are we making a straight pathway for Emmanuel, God with us? Because God is coming to dwell with us. God is going to become flesh, to become incarnate, to be born of Mary, this small child, this small baby. And God's incarnation is about justice and restoration and renewal and peace. We are reminded by John the Baptizer that there is work to be done. People need coats and shelter. People need to be treated with integrity and fairness. Grieving people need comfort. And not just because it's almost Christmas. There's a lot of talk each year about this so-called war on Christmas. And when I was out of the country last Advent and Christmas, I didn't miss talk of this. And I came back and it appeared right again. In this country, we hear all about how people are taking Christmas away from us by asking that nativity scenes be removed from public spaces. We hear that someone somewhere has requested that it be called a holiday tree and not a Christmas tree. People get upset if the White House sends out a Happy Holidays message instead of a Merry Christmas message. Although, as I was reminded this last week, Happy Holidays is another way of saying Happy Holy Days, isn't it? And the birth of Jesus is nothing if not a holy day. Regardless, each year we hear a fair amount of complaining by people of this so-called war on Christmas. It starts, I think, with daytime radio, talk radio, and one cable news network in particular on the weekend after Thanksgiving, and it runs all the way through December. But according to the liturgical year, according to our tradition in the Christian church, it's not Christmas yet. In our deeply rooted Christian tradition of 2,000 years, the season of Christmas begins on Christmas Eve. It continues on to the traditional birthday of Jesus on the 25th, and then it extends for another 12 days into January. So today, and for another 7 days, we're still in Advent. That's why we sing, "Come, Thou Long-Expected Jesus." That's why last week we sang, O come, Emmanuel. Sometimes in Advent, we do not yet sing, Joy to the World, the Savior is born. We traditionally wait until Christmas Eve to sing those beautiful words of Silent Night. Jesus is not yet born. We are hoping for, anticipating that time when we will celebrate his birth on the 25th. With the shortest daylight of the year approaching on December 21st, and with terrible news not only from Connecticut, but also from Syria or the Congo or dozens of other places that we don't even know about, these days may be somber at best as we move into the darkest December, as the nighttime deepens, as the darkness deepens. It is not yet Christmas. It is still Advent, and we await Jesus' birth. So perhaps, just a thought, perhaps it's not quite the time to say Merry Christmas yet. We are still in a moment of hopefulness and expectation. The biblical texts are stark. They're almost offensive, actually. We know of the Hebrew prophet's words of a Savior who is to be born. John the Baptizer gives us a good reminder of social and economic injustice. There are people in this world, even in this community, with no coats, while I have two. And actually, I have more than two. There are people in this world who are still hungry, while we have plenty to eat. So maybe do not say Merry Christmas just yet. Maybe don't say it just yet, because if we do, it might make us forget about Advent, about the preparing, about the anticipation of Jesus' birth. So this Advent season, with this challenging and difficult text, the 4 weeks that we as Christians can dedicate to God's vision of justice for the outcast and the oppressed, Let us use that as a time to remember those turned away by others and by society. We think that it is the season for reporting on consumer spending, if you listen to the TV or the radio. The season for reporting on economic growth and the sounds of cash registers and measuring if we are doing better at sales than we were last year, economically speaking. But really, it's not that season either. It's Advent. Fridays are my day off, and I went to the matinee this Friday to see The Hobbit. In both The Hobbit, this first of three movies, and then the other three Lord of the Rings movies, J.R.R. Tolkien has this epic battle between good and evil woven throughout. In one scene in this Hobbit movie, Gandalf, the great and wise wizard, is asked why he brought Bilbo Baggins along on the journey. Gandalf has all these travelers with them. They're on a quest, as you can expect. A dozen rough and tough dwarves used to swords and axes and battles and sleeping on the ground and being tougher than I can ever imagine. But Gandalf is asked why he also brought along tiny little Bilbo Baggins. Gandalf says he doesn't quite know. He felt it deep down inside of him that it was the right thing to do. And he pauses for a moment, and then he gives a further response. He says something like this: "Some believe that it is only great power that can hold back evil. That is not what I have found. I found it is the small things, everyday deeds of ordinary folk, that keeps the darkness at bay. Simple acts of kindness and love." Now, I'm not exactly sure what J.R.R. Tolkien was trying to convey in that quote, but it really spoke to my heart, not just about good, but about Jesus and about us as followers of Jesus. Simple acts of kindness and good. And holding back the evil coming from a small thing, it really made me think of the birth of Jesus just days from now. I believe this is all a reminder that we greatly need. In this season of Advent, as we are reminded by John the Baptizer about our shortcomings, about our flawed nature as human beings, about our tendency for some reason to turn to that which is dark, as we approach the shortest and darkest day of the year on the winter solstice, just a few days from now, perhaps this is when we can best be reminded that peace comes in small things. Perhaps now, not knowing what to do in the face of horror, as families that we will never know grieve from the depths of their souls, as we grieve with them at the senseless deaths of their children, perhaps now we can find peace only in the Christ child. But peace he will bring. That is what Jesus does. Out of the darkness, a great light will shine. Amen.